Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
The Oddity News. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of The Oddity News on the Oddity News Network, also known as the Chair Shot Radio. I'm Dave Wirtz. As always, with me is my cohort in crime, my pal of the print. It is our good friend's Will Power, also known as PC Tunney. That's right. It was a positive one today for you, PC.
I would trade paychecks with Will Power.
All right.
You know who Will Power is?
Is that one of the entertainment business?
No, he's F1 driver.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. You thought I was going to know F1 driver?
I don't know if you knew that guy or not. I just know him because his name's pretty cool.
No, look, I'm not Caucasian enough to know F1 drivers.
Okay, all right. Well, or European enough.
That too. As always, we here at The Oddity love to bring the stories of the weird and ridiculous, and this edition is no exception. So let's jump right into the news. A boss has laid off a staff member as she returned from a maternity leave due to her becoming pregnant again. A mother has been awarded over 28,000 quid in compensation after being dismissed due to her pregnancy. Nikita Twitchin was preparing to come back from maternity leave when First Grade Projects, a building services firm and sponsor of the Swansea City Football Club, let her go upon hearing she was pregnant again. Hired in October 2021 as an office administration assistant by the Pontypridd-based company, Ms. Twitchin spoke highly of her rapport with the managing director, 49-year-old Jeremy Morgan, during an employment tribunal. She recounted their relationship as, quote, very good, noting that he was very responsive whenever she needed to discuss anything with him. Ms. Twitchin fell pregnant shortly after taking on the role and commenced her maternity leave in June of 2020, returned to work meeting with Mr. Morgan. And this tribunal was informed that the meeting began on a positive note, with Mr. Morgan commenting on the company's strong performance and its recent NHS contract win. He expressed eagerness for Ms. Twitchin's return, and they settled on her working hours post-maternity leave. However, towards the end of the meeting, Ms. Twitchin disclosed that she was expecting another child. The tribunal heard that this news came as a shock to her boss, who later insisted that he had congratulated Ms. Twitchin, a claim, though, that she has refuted. When her maternity leave concluded on March 26th, no one from First Grade reached out to confirm her return to work. She anticipated returning on April 3rd, but found herself having to follow up for a response to her message to Mr. Morgan. Eventually, he messaged her saying, quote, it's best to leave it until you have your routine in place. On April 4th, she queried Mr. Morgan about holiday entitlement for later in that year, but he failed to respond substantially, which was uncharacteristic according to that tribunal. Later that day, Mr. Morgan called to inform her that she was being made redundant due to financial difficulties and delays in some payments to the business. He later alleged that new software was being implemented, which meant her role would no longer exist. Employment Judge Robin Harvard praised Ms. Twitchin for her dedication to work, stating she should be commended for her efforts working at a laundrette and caravan park from June to October of 2023. Despite being 8 weeks pregnant at the time of her return to work meeting, she continued to clean caravans throughout the summer in very hot conditions, traveling 45 minutes each way until she was 39 weeks pregnant. Yeah. Tunny, that's quite the turnaround, if you would. And I'm glad she was awarded the money that she was rightfully deserved. But, you know, look, maybe it's just me. Slow down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You know, like makes me want to think of, like, simpler times, right? Like, everything around you slowing down. Maybe a little more old-fashioned you could be. Like,
well,
you know,
I mean, like enjoy the baby that you just had.
Well, that. But I mean, like, life in general, like, maybe you need to just have, like, a Werther's Original kind of attitude towards things, you know?
Oh, my Lord. What a confounded segue. Go ahead.
So I am actually on Werther's-Original-Pocket.com, where you can enter in a sweepstakes to win. From October 16th to the 25th, enter in a chance to win a pair of the exclusive jeans to ensure you have your favorite fall caramel in arms or pockets reach at all times. Now, these are a pair of jeans, and down each side of the leg, there is 15 tiny pockets, each equipped to hold a Werther's Original. Now, folks, this is just a little tip from me. When you're handing out Werther's Originals to strangers, or even your friends, don't give them unwrapped candy. Make sure it's still wrapped, okay? No.
Gross. Unmelted, too, by the way.
The Werther's Original Pocket Denim. Introducing the Werther's Original Pocket Denim. Jeans that feature not only tiny pockets for carrying Werther's, but 30 tiny pockets perfectly designed to fit a standard bag of Werther's Original Hard Caramels. In honor of National Caramel Month, Werther's Original is hosting an exclusive sweepstakes where 200 lucky consumers can win a pair of these limited edition jeans. Folks, that's Werther's-Original-Pocket.com.
How many times have you signed up?
Nunce.
None?
Well, I'm here now. I'm here now, so I might as well just give them all my information. No, that's a lot. They want a lot of information. No, I am not a robot, but I will not be submitting this. And I don't want to tell you how many stoplights are in each square. Goodbye.
I'm just telling you, if you want that many pockets, you're going to look like you went to like a Juggalo concert with those like casual JNCO jeans that you got going
on. Listen, when you got 30 pockets all stuffed with Werther's Originals, the only one way to describe it is those are some sweet pants.
Oh, dear Lord. A skeleton crew California driver has been nabbed for using carpool lanes with a plastic Halloween decoration. Drivers looking to beat California's endless traffic can use designated carpool lanes provided they have others in their car. But there's one pesky requirement. Those other people have to be alive. That was not the case for a driver stopped this weekend near San Jose using a fake companion, police say. Riding in the passenger seat was a plastic skeleton. In an apparent effort to add to the illusion, the skeleton was also wearing a mask with a giant mouth reminiscent of the Scream films. While spooky season is upon us, it is important to remember that decorations being transported in the passenger seat do not qualify to meet carpool requirements, the California Highway Patrol wrote on Facebook. This driver has been publicly identified, but carpool lanes or high occupancy vehicles lanes aim to incentivize ride sharing, easy traffic, and maximizing the people on those carrying capacities on the California highways. This isn't the first time the skeleton ruse has been deployed. In 2020, a 62-year-old man was cited in Arizona for trying to use the HOV lane with a skeleton as his companion. Officers saw right through that despite the skeleton's hat. The year before that, though, a driver has attempted a similar ploy with a mannequin in sunglasses. Tunny, let me show you this picture if you haven't seen it. It is quite amazing.
We get these stories every year. Some people, like you said, mannequin, cardboard cutout, this, that, and the other. I mean, in the wintertime, it's got to be easy. If you have a mannequin, all you have to do is put a hoodie on it and a scarf and some glasses. And
yeah, why, pretty much good why to go. Wouldn't you at least put something? It's a skeleton. It's not even a mannequin. Yeah, I know. You know what I mean? Like, the mannequin at least has a body shape. This is a bad idea. No bones about it.
No bones about it. Yeah. Let me tell you, though, every time I use the carpool lane to get on the freeway when I have someone with me in the car, I always, hey, thanks for being here.
That's the best part of having a child.
There you go.
It's just carpool lane.
Carpool.
Yeah, I honestly will take the carpool lane. Yeah. Regardless of if there is anyone like in the on-ramp,
you slide over the carpool lane. You're like, oh, I'm going to carpool.
Oh, absolutely. I am not, okay. I'm not mincing my words here. Carpool lanes are a gift, and we should treasure that gift.
Fair enough. We should also treasure each other, but at a New Zealand airport for no more than 3 minutes. A new rule at New Zealand airport prohibiting lengthy goodbyes at a drop-off zone has made international headlines and sparked controversy. During a recent interview with Radio New Zealand, Dunedin Airport, probably Dunedin, sure, we'll go with Dunedin. Dunedin Airport executive Dan DeBono said the airport's new 3-minute max hug time limit has caused quite a stir. There's only so much space we have in that drop-off area. Too many people are spending too much time with their fonder farewells at the drop-off sign. There's no space for others, DeBono explained. The restriction was rolled out amid changes to the drop-off zone, with the airport designed to help the flow of traffic and visitor safety, according to a September news release. A sign instructs those who want a longer embrace to use the car park. There will be no hug police. Speaking to the radio station, DeBono said people have openly opposed the time constraint. Still, DeBono noted, citing a study, that only 20 seconds is needed for people to feel the release of oxytocin or the cuddle hormone. We're not here to tell people how long they should hug for. It's more the message of please move on. If you're going to take longer, move to the car park. People who exceed 3 minutes would be politely asked to move to the car park. We're not going to call the hug police, DeBono joked. According to The Independent, a similar sign posted at an airport in Aalborg, Denmark, that says, kiss and goodbye. No kisses above 3 minutes. What's your longest goodbye? You remember back...
You don't have to worry about that.
Are you an Irish goodbye kind of guy?
I was going to say, you don't have to worry about that for me. I am a quick goodbye.
Yeah.
And especially not a touchy-feely, huggy person. I am just like, all right, deuces.
I remember back in the day, like, especially like with my grandparents and go somewhere with them, and then everybody would get up and it'd take 5 minutes to get out of the living room, and then it'd take five more minutes to get your jacket, and then they'd walk you to the car, and you'd be in the car and you'd still be talking to them for it'd take you like 30 minutes to leave somewhere. And as a kid, I'm just like, oh my god, I'm gonna miss cartoons.
Tony, do you know why? That's called a Midwestern goodbye.
It's horrible.
That is a real thing.
Yeah, I'm an Irish goodbye.
Minnesota and Wisconsin, we are the worst.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. We need a break after discussing the bad habits of Midwesterners here on The Oddity.
We know how to quickly jump off of The Oddity news stories. We're quick about it.
You're listening to The Oddity with Dave Wirtz and PC Tony right here on Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com. We remind you to always use your head. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Plenty of great t-shirts that make a great gift during this gift-giving season. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, we are back to The Oddity News, when the stories never cease, including... A Georgia sheriff grew so angry when a Burger King messed up his order that he rallied and called deputies to the store. Cobb County Sheriff Craig Owens, who is up for re-election this year, called his deputies to the Burger King on Veterans Memorial Highway in Mapleton on March 4th, 2023, to help address his botched order, according to body camera footage obtained by WSB-TV. Owens' opponent in the upcoming election is slamming the sheriff's actions as an abuse of his position. Three deputies were then dispatched to the fast food restaurant with sirens blaring. The deputies approached Owens in his truck, who was parked in the restaurant's parking lot. Owens was not in his uniform or in his sheriff's officer's vehicle either. Hey, he said, quote, "Do me a favor. I need to get all I need is the owner name of whoever owns this damn facility or the manager," Owens tells on one deputy on the body cam footage. "I wanted her to get me a damn Whopper. No mayo, cut in half, right?" he continued. The sheriff added, "I don't need no damn money back no more. I just need to find out who owns this place so I can do an official complaint." Deputies then, without questioning what the sheriff why he could not ask for the information himself, then approached the restaurant's doors, but the employees had locked themselves inside. The employees were eventually convinced to open the doors to let the deputies inside. "Nobody is in trouble. We just want to get some names," said another deputy to the assistant manager. One of the employees did say, "That guy out there, he's just going to file a complaint for his food." After receiving the name of the manager and the company that owns the Burger King store, the deputies left the restaurant and returned to the sheriff. A deputy informs that sheriff that the employees were afraid because angry customers in the past have escalated to stalking. The sheriff responded with, "You didn't tell him who I was, did you?" Owens is up for re-election this year, and his challenger, David Cavender, posted the video to Facebook on Friday. Cavender plans to tap as his chief deputy. Mike Dondelinger is called the incident a display of intimidation and waste of resources. Sheriff, however, claims it was a business dispute that any citizen could have made. What's the maddest you ever got at an order, Tony?
Wow. There's a certain George Webb's I won't go to, because the third shift guy was pissed off that he had to wait for the first shift person to come in. So when came over to take my order, he's like, you know what you want, or do you need a minute or an hour or a day? And then and then when he brought my silverware over, he just threw it onto the table like from a good 3 feet away. So he had already poured my coffee and I had taken two sips. And so I pulled out $3 and I put it on top of the coffee. And I said, I don't remember what I said, but yeah, that happened.
I went to a restaurant over by my place. I won't mention it because it's not quite as name brand. But I went there and I ordered an order of poutine. And the waitress promptly corrected me to say, "I think you mean poutini." And I told her, "No thanks. I'll take my check for the soda that I drank." And then I walked out after paying like $3.
Another lady once at a different Webb's that I don't go to. There's two Webb's I don't go to. This is funnier than any story I'm going to read.
You've woven quite an intricate web, if you would.
There's actually three.
Oh, my God.
Not webs, but there's another breakfast place I won't go to because they never cook the hash browns, and I don't want to send food back because you never know what's going to happen when you do that.
Good Lord.
So this other place is, one time, I got my meal and everything, and the lady goes, "Did you need anything else?" And I was like, "Oh, just some ketchup." And she turns around, she goes, "You're going to ruin your breakfast with ketchup?" I said, "Unless you're going to pay for my breakfast, get me some ketchup." There was no tip given that day.
Oh, my God. People, shut up.
Right? I mean, am I wrong?
I don't care about your opinion as a waitstaff. Like, right. Unless I ask for it, Don't be telling me how to pronounce things, especially when you're just flat out wrong.
Well,
don't be telling me like how to order my food. If I want ketchup on my damn steak,
well,
then I'm going to eat
I was
going to
say,
ketchup.
That's the at a really high class, expensive steak place. You might want to. Well, you might, you know, here's one waitress told me once that a good friend of mine who works at a really nice steak restaurant, she's like, order fries with your steak. Then at least I think the ketchup's for the fries and not the steak.
Look, I don't eat it that way.
Right,
my, my fiance does. Oh. I realize that she's insane, and she recognizes that she's insane.
Well,
so
she's,
at least
she's very,
she knows that
she's
it's not.
New.
Yeah, well, she's like, I'm used to eating garbage steaks from when my dad used to make it. I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. No. But, you know, again, it's not my job to, like, no. I'm sorry. If you're going to order this, you cannot do that. I'm like, get fucked.
Well, speaking of ordering things and getting a little extra, pizza number 40 was long one of the best-selling dishes at a restaurant in the German city of Dusseldorf until police discovered the secret ingredient, a side of cocaine. Authorities say uncovering the illicit narcotics delivery scheme allowed them to smash an organized crime ring in Germany's most populous state, North Rhine-Westphalia. About 150 officers, including from elite units, last week searched 16 properties in 9 cities, arrested 3 suspects, and seized caches of weapons, the new agency DPA reported. Chief Inspector Michael Graf von Moltke, said police had the pizzeria. I can't keep doing it. And it turned Indian there, too. I'm sorry. Imitations are all over the place. In a popular party district of the city, in their sights since March, when a routine food inspection uncovered the drug in the kitchen. Narcotics investigators put the business under surveillance and noticed that pizza number 40 was a customer favorite. It was one of the most sold pizzas, von Moltke said. A packet of cocaine was placed under each pie. That was new to us, surprised us, because the owner had never been accused of drug crimes. The pizzeria's advertising slogan was, "We deliver everything home to you." It was not immediately clear what the business charged for number 40 or what its toppings were. Even if we knew, we wouldn't release it, a police spokesperson said. When officers arrived to question the 36-year-old shop owner, the Croatian national allegedly threw a bag stuffed with drugs out the window. It fell into the arms of police officers. Officers
so
confiscated
good.
1.6 kilograms of cocaine, 400 grams of cannabis, and 268,000 pounds in cash, as well as expensive watches, a handgun, an axe, long-bladed knives believed to be a part of the gang's arsenal. There you go. Talk about Mystic Pizza turned gangster.
Lot of oregano on that bad boy.
Yeah. You want a side of kosher salt or oregano?
You know what? For some reason, it's the only pizza that when I eat it, I get hungrier.
That's a good possibility.
Tunny, this is a slightly older story. Not too long, but it did get published in the early parts of September. But I think it's too good of a story to pass up. Have you heard of Preston Polling?
No, read on.
Oh, well, Preston Polling is quite the accomplished miniaturist, and he entered a miniature competition at the 2024 Kentucky State Fair. With this miniature design, Polling's simple yet explosive design was awarded a third-place ribbon for its craftsmanship in the I Did It My Way category, but later was deemed inappropriate. The Kentucky State Fair hasn't revoked his ribbon yet, but after the miniature went viral and drew an onslaught of attention, officials quickly removed it from the display area at the Kentucky Exposition Center, 930, the address. All right. Miniatures are very small, extremely detailed designs of scenes scaled down to something small enough to fit on top of a table. For this entry, Polling, who is known as the Bearded Miniaturist, crafted a simplistic office scene that lacked any visible hint of anything, really. Until Kentucky State Fair officials released a statement saying entries submitted to the fair are routinely reviewed throughout the event, and the entry in question has been removed from the display at this time, but did not provide any further comment. Candidly, the Fair's decision didn't surprise Poling at all, because he told the Courier-Journal during an interview this was the second time he had had a piece removed from the Fair and was actively testing the boundaries. You may ask why it was removed. Tunney, do you happen to recognize this office scene?
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
What is that?
That would be the scene from the notable porn videos, The Casting Couch.
Okay. That tells you I don't watch The Casting Couch porn videos.
Good for you. Yes, here's what happened, though. In the competition in 2023, he submitted a miniature build of a risque dungeon, and it was disqualified before the judging process began. Poling said, to be fair and completely transparent, that build was not subtle. It was a sexy dungeon with chains, and there was a little tiny hint of blood around the drain, and there was a stain on the mattress. When fair officials deemed it inappropriate, he asked what he could remove from the build to make it fit for the fair. By this point, though, it didn't matter how many chains or stains he removed. Knowing the intention behind the room, it wouldn't qualify for the fair. The casting couch, however, was so mundane that it felt perfect to him. There's no hint, there's no tips, there's nothing short of a little sweat on the middle cushion, which you could really have to look for. While arguably controversial and offensive in some circles, Poling said he received tens of thousands of positive reactions and comments about the casting couch. That good-natured buzz is actually why he got into miniatures in the first place. He's been fascinated by them since he was a child, but he never attempted to build one until COVID shut him down in 2020. He spent the pandemic creating a build-out of the apartment from the 1990s TV sitcom Frasier. And I would encourage anyone to go and look at some of his designs. He is under, again, the Bearded Miniaturist. And let me tell you, it is fantastic. It's so good.
It looks like a pretty interesting talent. Like, you gotta probably have a lot of patience to be able to do a lot of shit like that.
Again, he put a tiny cum stain on the couch. Look at the details.
All right, that's fair. I mean, good for him. If you do something you love, you never work a day in your life, right? All right, one more for you here. If you grew up before the days of the cell phone, you may remember having a lot of freedom to do whatever you wanted as a kid. So here are some things that kids that grew up after that era may be shocked to know that people like you and me, Dave, and people a little bit older did while we were growing up. Number one, my best friend and I used to sneak out of the house and hitchhike to the city just for fun. Two 14-year-old girls, and I shudder to think what could have happened. Yeah, I don't know. I never hitchhiked. Did you?
No. Okay. That I will say I have never done.
Number two, every day all summer long, I would go out to play first thing in the morning, come home when the streetlights come on, or when my mom hollered for us. Mom was a trained singer. We could hear her for blocks. That was very much my summers when there was no school.
Yeah, I was on, I always stayed on the same blocks. So I didn't have to work.
Oh, you cut out there for a second, Dave. Sorry. What was the last thing you said?
Oh, I said I was living in the city, so I was scared to go too far. Yes.
All right, yeah, I grew up I was with my grandparents in the summer. So, 3, I rode my horse by myself in the woods for hours. No saddle, no one really knew where I was, no cell phone, I was 12. I can't imagine letting my kids do that. It was so much fun, though. I've never ridden a horse without a saddle.
I'm horseless, so...
You were in the city, that's right. Number 4. I told my mom I was sleeping at a friend's house, and we drove to New York to go clubbing. We met some random Kiwi guys who let us crash at their apartment, and this went on for our entire summer of 88. No phones, just landlines, partying, dancing, and human-to-human contact, the way life should be. But that's just, like, my opinion, man.
I have definitely done things like this.
Sure.
Definitely have said I was going one place, and then ended up going to some place that definitely had alcohol and drugs.
Number 5, I bought cigarettes out of a vending machine. No questions asked. It was for the lady next door.
No smoking on my part. That's what you get for being a music major.
6, my grandpa gave me and my brother a .22 pistol and a box of bullets for it and sent us outside to shoot it by ourselves in the backyard. We were probably 11 and 9 or younger. The gun jammed and we thought we had broken it. Both of us were crying because we thought we'd be in trouble. My grandpa laughed that we were crying, fixed the jam, and sent us back out. I had a BB gun.
I've done something similar, not quite as independent, but you know, when you have family from rural West Virginia, guns are frequent.
Number 7, I cooked on a gas stove when I was 5. Okay, maybe not the best parent.
I definitely have done that too.
Okay. 8, sunbathed on the roof of a house slathered in baby oil. Mom would climb the ladder to bring the snacks.
Ew. Mom's just checking you out.
threw a lawn dart in the air and then we scrambled.
Look, I definitely had my grandmother had a thing of lawn darts, and
yeah, we did too.
I didn't just throw it directly up, but I did have way too much fun launching those things.
Number 10, what we used to call skeeching in our early teens in the 70s. On snow-packed, frozen side streets in Chicago suburbs, we would grab the bumper of a passing car and ski along the streets while hanging onto the car. No skis, just boots. We would usually squat down so the driver could not see us, and they were unaware that we had a kid hanging off the back of their car. Sometimes we would hang on for many... That sounds dangerous.
I've never done that. Not definitely not on a Chicago street where everyone's going 15 miles over the speed limit.
11, drinking from a hose, I think. Yeah, a lot of
people. Everyone.
This number 12, I don't know I would have wanted to do. Playing chicken with pocket knives. You stood with feet spread as far apart as possible. The thrower stood about 6 feet away and threw the knife into the ground between your legs. You moved 1 foot to where the knife was. Repeat until you get too scared to continue.
I mean, we did that with, like, basketballs. Look, I'm not saying I was smart, okay? and the good news is I have a child, so we're good.
And last, spent hours unsupervised in AOL chat rooms.
That I did not do. My mom had the computer on lock. Not my choice. So that one is the thing that's like a big bit taboo. Like, no, don't go on to AOL.
That's funny.
All right. Very good. I do enjoy that. God, bit of nostalgia.
There we go.
All right. You know, if I'm going to follow up a story about a stain, I might as well do it with some class. As a rare case of a man born with 3 penises was discovered by medical students in a first. Medical students in the UK stumbled upon an extremely rare case of a man with 3 penises while assessing a body donated for research. Around 1 in 6 million male babies are estimated to be born with 2 penile shafts, a condition called diphalia. Only about 100 cases have been recorded in the past 400 years since it was first medically recognized. Triphalia is an even rarer genetic anomaly that causes the male baby to have three distinct penile shafts. It was previously reported only one other time in a baby born in Iraq in 2020. The latest discovery described in the Journal of Medical Case Reports was actually made during a cadaveric dissection of a 78-year-old man. This makes it a distinct adult case of the condition and the first to be carefully studied through postmortem dissection. Researchers from the University of Birmingham Medical School suspect the prevalence of men with such penises, quote, may be greater than expected. In the latest case, they say the adult white male was likely unaware of his special condition as his genitalia seemed normal from an external perspective. But scientists found on closer inspection that there were two smaller penises within his scrotal sac, of which one was connected to the same urethra as the main penis. Without dissection, this anatomical variation would have remained undiscovered, suggesting the prevalence of polyphalia may be greater than expected, researchers said. Despite normal appearance of external genitalia on examination, the dissection of a 78-year-old white male revealed this remarkable variation. Yes! The third penis, the smallest one in his scrotal sac, lacked a urethra. But scientists say the findings shed more light. On the morphology and clinical implications of this anomaly. Tony, three penises. It's a big day for the medical community.
Anyone for penis, as Homer Simpson would say.
No, he's the big wiener of the group, that's for sure. I'll go back for seconds or thirds if you would.
Never knew, though. It was just inside of him. It just was, who knows, you know? Maybe you might be sitting there with three penises right now.
Look, if that was me, I feel like I would have been shafted.
I guess it's not as bad. If he had it all along, never had any medical problems or anything, I guess it's better than an ingrown toenail or an ingrown hair. It's just an ingrown
penis.
Yeah,
fuck that. Fuck that. I don't want the ingrown. I've had both of those things, and they're not fun. And with that, this wraps up the latest edition of the Oddity News on the Oddity News Network, also known as the Chair Shot Radio. As always, if you have any stories, feel free, send them PC Tunney's way. He'll read them. I'll listen. And we'll have fun, absolutely, highlighting all of the fun that you gave us. And Tunney loves to read submissions. He reads hundreds of submissions every week. And we couldn't have done it without you. So, please send us all the submissions you got. Tunney, what is that? Where should they send all of their journalistic submissions to?
Why not send them over to PCTunney@thechairshot.com.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. And that is a working email, by the way. So don't worry about it, not working. For PC Tunney, my name's Dave Wirtz. This has been the Oddity News, and as always, keep the news ridiculous.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.